And a very good evening to you. Welcome to Friday on Meridian Radio with me, Alan King, inviting you to start your weekend with me and Teapole, the manufacturers of a great range of cleaning products. This evening, something slightly different, as which is quite often what happens on a Friday evening. I've got two guests who've come from CellSAR, that's the South East London Search and Rescue Organisation. We've got Marnie Roberts, who I'll be speaking to first of all, and then we'll be speaking to Marston York. Musically, we've got the new Martin Kemmer single, and also a track from Billy Fury, as well as a few summer surprises. So, if you want to get in touch with us, it's simple. Send a text to 07 53 53 7 0800, or you can tweet us at Meridian Radio. My first guest is here and ready to talk. Hello, Marnie, how are you?
Hi, Alan, thanks for inviting us.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. South East London Search and Rescue. I must have always thought that it was something that you found on mountaintops and things like that, or the fire brigade, but it's not, is it?
That's right. Most people are really aware of Mountain Rescue and they're very good at publicising themselves, but there is a sort of another branch of search and rescue called Lowland Rescue, which operates in the non-mountainous areas, and that's what South East London Search and Rescue is a part of. There are about 34 units that cover the country, but actually we're the only team that cover London at the moment.
And that is the whole of London or just South East London?
We are designated for South East London, but we will obviously travel it if the police need us to do so, and we do have plans, as Lowland Rescue have plans to cover London in the future.
Mm. How did you get involved with CellSAR in the first place?
Well, I got a little crazy puppy, and this little dog was sort of quite hard work. And so I was looking for a means to work the dog, and obviously you could do dog competitions or agility, but I literally went online and started to search for sort of worthwhile things I could do with the dog, and I came across South East London Search and Rescue. So that's how I arrived at the unit, via the crazy puppy.
How long ago was that?
That was about 2 years ago.
OK, and you've risen quite dramatically in the ranks, haven't you?
I have. So I have to say, you start, you know, thinking that you're going to be a dog handler, and actually you realise there's a whole career there, really, in search and rescue. So now I'm a search planner for South East London Search and Rescue, and that's much more of a strategic advisory role to the Metropolitan Police.
How can you plan a search? I must know, because it's fascinating to think that you just go out and look. But no, obviously, how do you plan it?
There's a lot of statistics that have been collected over the years with regards to sort of behaviours of missing people and the locations in which they're found. And so we use this almost a body of science to help us, you know, meticulously plan the likely places that people will be found in.
OK, and what sort of age groups do people fall into categories that you search mostly for young people or?
We search for anyone who's vulnerable. That could be, for instance, a missing autistic child, could be someone who's suffering from dementia, who's perhaps absconded from their care home, could be someone who's feeling a little despondent and has decided to seek solitude and may or may not complete suicide. There's a whole category of vulnerable missing people, and it's just the vulnerable people who really require our search expertise.
OK, and who actually instigates the search? Is it like the relatives, or is it an organisation such as the police, the fire brigade?
So there's a misnomer that people have to be missing for 24 hours before they're reported missing to the police, and that's not true. So anyone can report, especially a vulnerable person who's missing, to the police, and then the police will basically coordinate all the activities with regards to the investigation around that missing person, and that does include calling us in to actually help them search for the person.
So how many people do you actually doing this search and rescue?
We currently have 20 qualified people. We are in need of probably another 30 people. We are looking for volunteers. So please, you know, get in touch with us if you're interested. And across the country, there are about 1,500 members of the Lowland Search. So there's quite a big volunteer force, really, who are all there looking for vulnerable missing people.
Is there any particular sort of person you're looking for particularly? Are you looking for people who are fit, people who are gifted with brain power, perhaps? I don't know.
Actually, we would welcome all volunteers. We have volunteers who are both operational and non-operational. So non-operational might be they want to help us in fundraising or perhaps some administration. And we are really need boots on the ground. So that would be operational people. Yes, you do have to have a certain level of fitness, because you need to be able to go out and search for these people and not be a danger to yourself or others. But actually, that fitness requirement is it's not very strenuous. We take people from 18 all the way up to 80. You don't have to be particularly, you know, smart or outdoor-y even. People from all walks of life. In our team, we have former policemen, we have teachers, some people who haven't started work yet because they've just finished their A-levels, then we have actors, scientists, so all walks of life. And that, and actually the variety really helps because everyone's got something they can bring.
Okay, so where, excuse me, where is CellSAR based? Do you have like a base which you have permanently available for people to visit you? Or?
No, we don't. Unfortunately, we don't have a base. We currently are sort of operating in Bexley, in Greenwich, in Southwark.
How can people actually get in contact with you if they're interested in volunteering?
Please, you can go to our website, which is www.cellsar.org.uk, and you can contact us via the website, or you can email us, again, via the website.
OK, fine. Somebody's just obviously sent a text, and so we're going to go to some music, and we'll come back and we'll talk to Marston in a few minutes, OK?
Great, thanks.
6:20 here on Meridian Radio, great music and the best Friday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's me, Alan King, taking you through until 8 o'clock with my guests this evening, and we've got Marnie Roberts, my apologies, and Marston York, who's in front of the microphone now. Marston, welcome to the studio.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Alan. It's lovely to be
here. So you're quite a newcomer to CellSAR, aren't you?
I joined last year, in September last year, and it's sort of taken over a little bit since then.
Really?
You get quite sort of caught up in it, because I only started really to do something more within the community that I lived in, and I was looking around for things to do that I could volunteer with and be part of. I went down to the Crystal Palace Dog Show in September last year and met up with the guys from South East London Search and Rescue, who were just a lovely bunch of people doing a quite outstanding job, I've got to say.
Okay.
And went along to one of their recruitment days, and it's sort of gone on from there.
What are you doing in the organisation now then, Marcel?
I try and organise the PR side of things, so it's me that sends out the emails.
It's you that got in contact with
it. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm afraid you probably got bombarded. So I'm the one that sends out the Facebook stuff or some of the Facebook stuff and the tweets and press releases, etc.
So when you send a press release out, do you get a good response from what is published in the local papers or on the local radio station?
This week, certainly. For some reason, this week has been extremely good. We had an article recently in the South London Press,
right.
Particularly promoting some fundraising that two incredible guys are doing for us. And obviously when you contacted us as well. We try and get as much out as possible so that people at least hear about us. And being able to come on here and talk to you about it.
What is the fundraising? Because it starts on Monday, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Two guys, Larry Bennett and Stephen Freeman, are walking the length of Offersdyke. They're travelling up to Prestatyn on Monday, and they start 177 miles in 10 days along the whole of Offersdyke, visiting various landmarks as they go. You'll be able to follow them on their website, actually, it's amazing because they came out of nowhere for us. We do a lot. We try and get along to dog shows and fairs and do collections whenever we can. But for two people to come out of the blue and say we would like to raise money for you, having had no contact with us prior to that, is an amazing feeling. And having initially maybe thought it was a joke. We found out that they're actually very serious about what they do and very good at it. They have a target of £1,000, which is to help us raise money for a command vehicle and equipment. And they're pushing that already, and it's great. They haven't even started the track yet, so we're very pleased.
Okay, so supposing somebody here would feel so inspired they would like to actually contribute to the fundraising, how can they actually contribute money to? Do they need to go to a bank, or can they do it online?
They can do it online at the moment. If they go to a website, it's Stephen Larry's website. Quite simple, actually. It's www.stephenlarrydocharity.com. www.jimdo.com.
I tell you what, we'll have to confirm that later on, because we want to say the contact information for both the guys and your own organisation before the end. We'll do that again. We'll make sure we do that.
That would be grand. Yeah. Okay. And once you get on the website, follow through to donate to the hike, and you'll see various messages of support and things from people. And it's literally just an online payment structure, an easy click thing, and it works really nicely.
You've experienced the training.
Yeah.
That is given to newcomers.
Yeah, I have.
I know you've got Marnie sitting next to you, but do you think that there is something more that could be added to the training that you received, or do you feel as though it's been complete?
Actually, we have so many different areas to cover with the training, it would be impossible to do it all at once. My initial recruitment day was a taster. So we literally got a chance to walk about and follow the guys doing a search exercise and learn about the different search techniques, learn a little bit about first aid, a little bit about navigation, a little bit about communication. What we do is quite specialised in many respects. So the training it has to be clear and it has to be direct, because you're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with people who could be in all sorts of trouble. And the last thing you want is to go into a situation where you're lacking in training. So would I want the training to change? Not really. In many respects, I think there could probably be more of it.
can I ask, obviously, there must be a lot of risk involved in what you do.
There can be. We try to mitigate the risk as much as possible.
I see. So you do some sort of health and safety training as well?
I suppose, from a common sense point of view, everybody who goes out on the street any day will do a risk assessment. Is it safe to walk here? Is it safe to step off this curb? Up to a point, we all do that when we're out on a search. We will not be sent as a team to a search area that is specifically dangerous. If it is, then you'll need a team that is maybe trained for that area. We certainly wouldn't do rivers or mountains, because there are specific dedicated teams who cover those areas. If it is dangerous, then you talk to your team leader, you talk to your search planner and say, look, we're not sure about going in here, this might be too much. We've had occasions when we've had to stand back and go, we can't go in there, either it's too dense or and the thing is, if we can't get in there and it's too dense, it might be very difficult for somebody to have got in there. So we'll look for signs and maybe track certain people if we need to.
Okay. Actually, you've led me to pick another record, actually, which is health and safety related. because I think it would be good guidance for anybody who's interested in joining you. So we'll play your track a little bit later. What we're going to do is we're going to play that track, and then we'll play our information break. We'll come back and talk to you in a little while.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In 1938, a crack unit of scientists produced Teapol, the world's first synthetic detergent. Teapol promptly started being used all over the planet. Today, over 75 years on, it is still wanted by governments, the NHS, and companies worldwide, because they know they will save a fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, you can find them at www.teapol.co.uk. Maybe then you can clean up with the Teapol team of products. Teapol, here to make your cleaning problems wipe away.
We've got our guests in the studio still, so we're going back to Marston. Marston, you've got some good news, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. While we've been on air, I've just received a message from Stephen and Larry, who are doing this amazing trek for us. They've just crashed through their target, which means we can go even further, I reckon. They've hit their £1,000 target, which is fantastic news.
Yeah.
And we'd like to go a little bit further, because... Yeah. What they're doing for us is great, and what it's going to pay for is incredibly important to the team.
Do you have a figure in mind to get this command vehicle?
Oh, gosh, we do. around about £2,000 to £4,000 in total will give us the command vehicle, the opportunity to fit it out properly and buy essentially equipment that we need when we're out on search.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, particularly since a command vehicle will give us a chance to centralise everything we've got.
It would also raise the profile, wouldn't it?
And exactly, and we can get out and have the van out, showing everyone that we're there. It's
brilliant. Initially, you can go to like the garden fetes and that kind of thing, can't you?
Yeah.
To get people to come and give you money, you know, sort of. You can sell old CDs and things like that that we do as well.
that would be ideal.
Definitely.
And to let people know that we're out there and what we do is hugely important, because it will mean that hopefully people will come and talk to us and find out a bit more as well. And we are, the thing is, we are voluntary and we are completely donation funded. And as volunteers, and this is the bit that might surprise and frighten people a little, but it's not to be frightened of, it's actually a really useful and good thing, is that we are available every single day of the year, and that includes Christmas Day, that includes bank holidays, and we're available 24 hours a day. It's not, you know, not every single one of us is going to be out on surge every single minute of every single day, but we are there 365 days, 24 hours a day.
The last time you were called out, what were you called out to, and what sort of time were you called out?
The last time we were called out was actually quite a late night call. I think we got an 11 p.m. call out to join, I believe it was Surrey SAR, Surrey Search and Rescue, because one of the things that we also do, quite apart from going out and helping the Metropolitan Police when we're called by them, is we'll join other search teams around the area, so Essex, Surrey, and we can help them put feet on the ground and expand the search. So yeah, the last one was an 11 o'clock search. In fact, one of our guys came all the way from North London to join the search and got there just in time, I think, to be told to stand down.
Oh no. Obviously, do you have a day job, Mark?
I do. I'm very lucky. I get to do something I thoroughly enjoy. I write and I speak for a living, so I get to work from home, so if there is a call during the day, I can normally go out to it. Other people obviously work a variety of different jobs on either shift patterns or in offices, and it's much more difficult for them to get out, certainly during the day. And when your private time is so special, if you're working all the time, for people to give up their time to come along and volunteer with CellSAR is a huge undertaking, but it's also really beneficial, both for your local community but also for yourself as an individual.
So how would you persuade someone who showed the slightest bit of interest in joining CellSAR to actually join? How could you do that? Because you seem as though you could be quite a persuasive person, Master.
Well, as long as you come along to one of our training sessions and find out yourself.
I was going to put my foot in your back.
I think if you're interested, then that's actually one of the skills you need straight off. If you have a desire to be part of your community and to give to your community in a different way, that's another skill set. If you want to help other people in a way that will ultimately help save lives, then that's how you can do it.
Okay.
Come and join us, come and talk to us, find out about the people that do it, find out about the kind of work that you'd be doing on the ground. And it doesn't matter, as Marnie said earlier, you might think that you're not fit enough to do it. We have a whole host of jobs that people can do that don't involve striding out across the fields in the middle of the night in pouring rain and howling winds. But we do need people to help with admin and with PR and with fundraising and with events. And even to be at the command vehicle, signing people in, just being there for someone to talk to if they've been out for 2 hours in the cold and wet, it's actually quite nice to sit and have a chat with someone who wasn't necessarily out there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So there's all sorts that you can do. There are lots of different ways to get involved.
Okay. We found a very sort of suitable record to play when you last finished speaking, which was Tina Turner. We've now found one, which was actually a choice of your music, and it's appropriate for me because I think you're beginning to target me for some reason. So it's a track which you selected. It's Leona Lewis and Run.
Start your weekend with Alan King. Sponsored by Teapol Cleaning Products, the first name in cleaning.
And we're back with Marnie. Marnie, you've been there very quiet and very good. I hope you've got some information to give us if people want to get in contact with Salsa.
I certainly have. I'd like to direct people towards the website, which is www.salsa.org.uk. There's a little bit more information on there. You can almost always email us as well through the website. And for those who want to support Steve and Larry on their 177-mile walk, it's stephenlarrydocharity.jimdo.com. And if you want to come and see us, we're actually at an event on the 23rd of August, the Chinbrook Dog Show in Chinbrook Meadows, that's Amblecote Road, SE12, and we'll be there from 11 till 5. Come have a chat with us, we'll tell you a little bit more what we do, and Chinbrook Dog Show is actually raising money for us as well.
That sounds really good. Oh, we've got another text coming. Perhaps it's someone else offering some money for you. You never know. So you're going to come back and tell us how successful the walk was, yeah?
We'll certainly will.
Thanks. And hopefully you can come before the dog show so you can remind people that will be carrying...
That would be great if we could, Alan.
Oh, very, very welcome. It's been a pleasure to have you both in our company this Friday evening. It took a little bit of trouble to find us, I know, but you succeeded. That's the most important thing, and I hope that you can come back and see us in the not-too-distant future. Thanks for joining us, both to Marnie and to Marston.
Thank you.